Well, I think we need to have some expertise here to navigate our way through. Bruce Williamson is of Rail Future, joins me now. Bruce, very good morning to you.
Good morning.
First of all, let's talk about these rail fare rises, up to 2.8%. Some people would say, hang on a second, inflation isn't 2.8%. I'm not getting a 2.8% rise in my salary. Blooming heck, how am I going to afford these?
Well, indeed, I think you make a very fair point, and it's about time that the government dropped RPI as the basis for rail fare increases every year. Because, of course, what that means is that we're getting a real terms increase in rail fares, and it's simply pricing people off the railway.
The government's preferred measure of inflation is the Consumer Prices Index, which is the CPI, which has moved to 2.1%. Would that be a more appropriate way to price railway ticket prices?
Yeah, quite simply, yes. I mean, the government has always claimed that it's its preferred measure of inflation. RPI really is just discredited. It's an archaic relic, I think, of earlier times. And I don't even know why they bother even calculating it anymore.
And I suppose, you know, RPI includes things that many people don't necessarily have. But it is, people might say, but what's the difference between 0.7%? And I suppose they've got a point, haven't they? 0.7% isn't going to break the bank, is it?
No, it is not in itself, but it's cumulative. And you add that sort of 0.7% or whatever it is year on year on year, and that results in rail fares becoming, the most expensive in Europe, certainly for walk-on fares. It's simply not sustainable because there will come a point, it probably has happened for some people on some journeys anyway, where they say, look, I can't afford this anymore. And they either, I don't know, change jobs or give up working or find an alternative mode of transport. And it's counter to what we want to achieve, which is to get people onto the railways and off our sort of congested and polluted road network.
I mean, it is extraordinary that RPI is used and that anybody can justify it on the basis that if anybody's wondering, hang on a second, it's 8 minutes past 5 o'clock and James, what the heck are you talking about? RPI, CPI, in no idea. CPI is an inflation measure that uses a basket of goods that kind of reflects our lifestyle, and the government and indeed economists say that that is most akin to what our spending habits are. RPI includes the cost of housing. Now, if you're trying to work out how much money needs to be in people's pockets, you need to include housing. If you're trying to work out the price of a railway ticket, you do not.
Indeed. Again, the intricacies of how the things are calculated, I think there's some other subtle differences, aren't there? But, you know, we don't need to go into that. We just need to know that RPI is is the higher one. And hence, rail fares are going up, you know, racing ahead of people's incomes and racing ahead of real-world prices.
Right, OK. So we put that to rights in the sense that... here we have an outdated way of doing it. Any government worth its salt should look into the methodology, and to be honest, it should be urgently reviewed and changed. Okay,
yeah.
So we set that aside. Now we need to look at some of the specifics. You might like to know that Alistair Osborne in Today's Times says Shapps risks looking a fool on the rail bid. So Chris Grayling was always going to be a hard act to follow, failing Grayling as he was called, and he was. I mean, every mistake that you could possibly make as a transport minister, Chris Grayling made it, and plenty of it. But Grant Shapps, well, he seems to be doing a good job, because First Group is going to take over the running of the West Coast mainline train route connecting London Euston to Glasgow Central. And they're going to be tied in with the Italian firm Trenitalia. It's kind of an interesting deal that they've put together. One has to ask, first of all, why is Virgin not in the mix?
Well, Virgin ruled themselves out over a dispute over pensions, because they were in the running to reapply for the franchise. The Department for Transport wanted Virgin to make a contribution to the industry-wide pension pot, which is something that's a little bit of a leftover from the days of British Rail. So it's industry-wide, includes sort of, you know, network rail people and so on. And Virgin felt that the terms were just, they were being asked to write a blank check, really, in simple terms. I mean, I don't know the exact details of it, but that's the essence of it. And they refused to pay up. They said, look, we're not going to go for this. So they sort of ruled themselves out of the bidding process. The DfT said, okay, off you go. You're not a qualified bidder anymore. So, where does that leave the Department for Transport? They have to keep the trains running. I would speculate that, if they approached Virgin and said, oh, can you just carry on running the trains for a bit, that Virgin would say, yeah, it'll cost you. So, Department for Transport has to look elsewhere. Hence, they've awarded it to this first Trenitalia consortium.
Now, First Group don't exactly have the best record for running our trains. And indeed, if one has a look at the other franchises that they are involved in, it's not ideal. So, for example, it's been highlighted that South Western Railway, they've just written off £102 million bond against the contract. They also have taken a £106 million hit on the Trans-Pennine line. I mean, this is... You know, let's give another franchise to a business that seems to be unable to run its other franchises. We're just sleepwalking into a mess, aren't we?
Well, I don't think it's quite that bad. I mean, you know, what can I say? First seemed to be doing all right on the Great Western franchise, for instance. It does seem to vary franchise by franchise, region by region, rather than being a group problem, I think. Also, of course, you know, Trenitalia is involved, which is this Italian company, which I think is, state-owned, isn't it? It's this ongoing charade where we have a privatised railway, nominally, and many of the players are the state-owned railway companies of other countries, which are, you know,
it is slightly bizarre in the sense that we have the state-owned Dutch enterprise involved as well. Where does this lead us, though? Because I think increasingly the views of the British people, if you were going to go up and down, is that, you know, years ago, had you said we're going to renationalize the railways, it would have been tremendously contentious. I think a lot of people now, if they thought that their train fare was going to be any cheaper, they might actually just go for it on the basis that privatization was this great panacea that was going to offer us more trains, a better service, a cheaper service, seats at busy times, less delays, etc. The reality is, it's still a nonsense. It's rubbish. It's very often delayed. It's not as well funded as people thought. You've got senior executives running off like bandits. The food's still pretty awful. I don't know. Am I maligning the system?
Slightly, but I mean, I think you have tapped into a public mood. You know, particularly we go back to what we were talking about earlier about train fares. Train fares are, you know, perceived to be outrageous, and the British public does know that, you know, it's cheaper on the continent. I mean, something's got to change. There's no doubt that renationalisation is a popular policy. If you look at the polling, there's a consistent majority to do it. And Chris Grayling, obviously he's no longer in the job, but he did recently say that franchising in its current form isn't working and it has to change, and hence we have the Williams Review of the railway, which is happening at the moment. So who knows what they'll come up with, but obviously a Conservative government is, you know, extremely unlikely ever to renationalise the railway. I think what they'll do is tweak the privatised system in order to sort of try and make it work better.
Just finally to you, Bruce, as I think about it and think, well, you know, Grant Shapps or Bruce Williamson, who do I want as my transport minister? You've just joined the cabinet, Bruce. What is your first move in regard to the railways?
Oh, that's a toughie. I think I'd go for CPI. I think that's got to be the first thing you do, because it's just impossible to justify. And then I think, you know, in general policy terms, you've got to take a very, very long-term view on the railways. You want sustained long-term investment, a rolling program of electrification, and then maybe we'll start to get somewhere.
Bruce, thank you very much indeed for joining us this morning here on Talk Radio. That's Bruce Williamson of Rail Future, bringing us up to date on those two big rail stories, which are all over your newspapers this morning. You are, of course, listening to The Business Breakfast on Talk Radio with me, James Max.